and align with the COVID-19 implications.
Right.
So I thought about agriculture, and then I thought that if I can be able to do my own vegetable garden, I'll be able to, in future, be able to supply my family. So now I started that vegetable garden.
Yeah.
And behold to that, I realized that if everybody can be able to use the little space in their homes, they can be able to have fresh vegetables
yeah.
for their families
yeah.
and spend maybe 3 or 4 hours a day on that project and then not get hungry, you know. So now in terms of food production and food supply, I have grown in terms of my ambition to now whereby I've got 2 hectares of land that I have leased so that I can be able to make sure that there is prosperity for all in my
wow. area. Wow! Vusi, get out of here. Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow, I mean, that's absolutely fantastic. That's great stuff. How did you go about this? Did you get others in your community involved? How did it work?
Yes, it's partnering with all. The idea is to partner with all social partners for prosperity for all in terms of creating jobs and peace in our local economic area.
Yeah.
But the big idea right now, what COVID-19 opportunities have created in our local agriculture is to be able to start an inclusive economic growth in terms of transformation whereby we create our own supplier, a local supplier value chain,
yeah.
so that you can create all the necessary jobs and not depend on the outside or, you know, the normal that we've been used to. So now we are in that stage whereby we need some of the help of like-minded people to help us to make sure that we can be able to implement projects around our area by using the natural endowment that is here in Winterfeld.
Oh, wow. Listen, we want to get behind that. We want to get behind that, Vusi, because I think that's exactly what we mean when we say let's walk the talk. You're somebody who heard, as you say, all the experts talking about what we could do. You didn't waste the lockdown. You started this initiative. We're going to get behind the scenes and do a little bit of digging and find out exactly what you've done, how far you are, and what assistance you might need. But I think it's absolutely exciting. 2 hectares already of land planted. What produce are you coming up with, Vusi?
Yes, the 2 hectares that we have got right now, we have just plowed it with the help of the with a tractor from the city of the Gauteng province. All we need now, what is important now is the fencing because we are in a community around. So now we need fencing so that there is protection, security for our produce. But also there are things that we need just to be able to, you know, like tools to be able to, because we are using organic farming and also we want to be labor intensive to create the necessary job for the local people around.
What are you producing, Vusi?
We like to produce other, you know, right now we've got spinach, we like to produce tomato, and, tomato, we like to do tomatoes, potatoes, onions,
yeah.
you know, green peppers, and all the other local supplies that are needed right. in our community.
I'll tell you what, Vusi, I'll put you back to the producers, we'll get a hold of your details, we'll see how we can try and support your little project. But obviously it's growing and the local community starting to benefit in a huge way from that. Absolutely fantastic stuff, right? I love it. I love it when 702 Landers respond to the call of Let's Walk the Talk.
702. Making a difference. EWN. Traffic.
18 after 8. Karabo, are the roads clear?
No, not yet, but certainly settling down at this hour. Bongani, that accident scene in Benoni has been cleared. That's on the N12 West from Snake Road all the way to Atlas Road. Traffic is now free-flowing through there. In Roodekop, Katlong, however, traffic remains heavily backed up. This is on Heidelberg Road, approaching the N3. There was a truck accident there. In Struben's Valley, west of Joburg, expect some delays on Hendrik Potgieter between Nick Diedrichs and Christian De Wet. In Stormwall, traffic lights are out of order at Main Reef Road and Commando. And in Centurion, there's an accident scene in Cosmosdal on Samrand Road at Rietspruit, slowing down traffic. Karabo Jali, EWN Traffic.
702. The Big Favor.
Right, time to give you some good news. In July, of course, we told you about the plight of a young woman. She was only 20 years old and a first-time mother looking forward to the delivery of her first baby. But as you may remember, her world was turned upside down because after delivery, she had sepsis, which resulted in all her limbs being amputated, both her legs and both her arms. And of course, so many of you 702 listeners responded. You chipped in when you heard the story to try and support this young woman. Many of you provided financial support, other resources, just to make her life a little bit easier. There were napkins provided. There was baby formula provided. And we wanted to go all the way with this young woman. Her name, by the way, is Nomonde. She's back home. And 3 months after we first told you about her story, she's back home. She's got a bouncing baby boy. We went to go meet her and the family yesterday. And we'll put that story on our social media pages so you can have a look-see yourself. And she joins us now on the line. Nomonde, welcome to 702 Breakfast. It was absolutely fantastic to meet you and your family yesterday.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
One of the things you were telling us yesterday was just how grateful you were for all the help that you received from 702 listeners, people who just reached out and showed that they care. Just tell me about your experience and what these last 3 months have been like for you.
At first it was hectic because I left home walking and I had no sign showing that I lose all my limbs. And then after giving birth,
yeah,
I held my baby for the first time and then I collapsed.
Yeah.
And then I was taken to ICU. I was put on ventilator because my heart stopped and I was not breathing. So I was overdosed with adrenaline. That's the thing that led to my amputation.
Sure. How did the doctors tell you about what was going to happen and what was your reaction?
When they first told me, I cried my heart out because I failed to understand, okay, what's going on now? Because I came to this place healthy and lively, but how did things suddenly happen like this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you coped? I mean, as I said earlier, your whole world completely turned upside down. As you say, you walked into a hospital walking and healthy. To come out without the use of your arms, without your arms, without your legs, how have you coped?
At first, I had some negative thoughts, like suicidal thoughts. How am I going to live like this? What are people going to say? Hmm. But as time went on, I started praying, and then I had faith in God that okay. Maybe this thing happened for a reason.
Hmm. Gosh, we've met your baby boy. He's beautiful, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I suppose that's one of the things that carries you through this really incredible experience you've been having. So many of our listeners reached out to just show that you weren't alone, Nomonde, that we wanted to be with your family and obviously with you at this time. And whilst, of course, their generosity is hugely appreciated, I know there's still a couple of more things that you need that could make your life a little bit easier. Right now, what is the most critical thing that we can still help you and your young baby to deal with?
Right now I need a commode and a cardiac table.
And it's all about dignity, right? Because you need those, obviously, to be able to assist yourself. For example, if you need to use the bathroom, for example, if you need to eat. It's going to be a long journey, and we want to make a commitment to you that we will walk the talk with you. We're not going to just talk about your story, but we want to really see how we can find ways to assist you. And again, I'm going to ask 702 Landers to see where we can reach out. That's the need of the hour. This cardiac table and a commode, as she says. Nomonde, you are a real inspiration. Meeting you yesterday was just an extraordinary moment for us and the team. Your strength, your courage, your optimism, your faith really, really humbles us. And the fact that, you know, with so many challenges, you have a reason to get up in the morning. And yeah, it's an extraordinary story. Thank you very much for talking to us. We certainly want to keep walking the talk with you. So 702 Landers, once again, we're going to put that call out to you. She needs a commode toilet to be able to obviously assist her, a cardiac table. Maybe people who have access to those resources can put up your hands and see how we can help Nomonde. As I said, we'll put up pictures and visuals of meeting her and her baby boy, bouncing, beautiful boy, 3 months old now. And what a story. What resilience. What courage.
702. The Worldview.
With Adam Gilchrist.
The Worldview is brought to you by Satrax. Invest in global funds. Invest with Satrax. Time now to catch up with Adam Gilchrist. A very good morning to you, Adam. A happy Friday. Not a very happy one if you're in Thailand, because people there continue to want to protest despite the ban.
Yeah, absolutely. They are not happy with the king's powers, the king of Thailand. Of course, that used to be anathema, wasn't to, you know, say anything against the royal family in Thailand. And also the removal of the prime minister, Prayut Chan-o-cha, has come in for an awful lot of resentment about alleged corruption and the autocracy involved. And although, on the one hand, the government has banned protests, this is after the royal motorcade was, quote, disturbed. The other day, 20 people arrested, including a student protest leader called Penguin. But now, despite the ban, we saw tens of thousands of people, impossible to tell exactly how many, but it was an enormous crowd in Bangkok, again, protesting, led by students. And sometimes that means that, yeah, there's a real power in the underbelly of the protest. Sometimes it means they fizzle out. We don't yet know. But at this stage, it was quite something to see the protest defy the government order and turn up with masks on as well, I have to say. On the one hand, they're toeing the line. On the other hand, they're absolutely revolting, as it were.
Now, tell me about sanctions on Russia, that poisoning story, now consequences.
Yeah, Alexei Navalny, of course, was taken to Germany, and Germany has particularly spearheaded the call for there to be sanctions, Germany and France ultimately, but the European Union and the United Kingdom have joined forces with this and have imposed sanctions on six members of the Russian government, including Vladimir Putin's deputy chief of staff, two deputy ministers, and people who work at the, quote, Scientific Research Institute for Organic Chemistry and Technology. I tried to memorize that and I couldn't. You kind of wonder, if they're making Novichok, in what way is that organic? But anyway, that's one of the target areas. And those six members have therefore had travel bans. They can't essentially leave Russia and go anywhere in Europe, but also having their assets frozen. I always wonder about that. Do people really have bank accounts in other countries? And if you're Russian, surely that makes you immediately dodgy, if not to us, then even to them, doesn't it?
Now, Adam, I don't know if you remember when you were younger, considerably younger than you are today, perhaps one of your siblings, you both got into trouble of some kind or another. You were punished first, and when it's the turn, or it was the turn of your sibling, the joy you got out of it. I say all of this because we've been struggling through COVID restrictions, and now it's your turn, the UK.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. This might make you feel a little bit better, but we are absolutely in chaos about this, frankly. I mean, if you took Europe overall, it's chaotic from country to country. But within the United Kingdom, we're anything but united on this. All different parts are now doing different things, having different things imposed. London, for instance, goes up a tier level today, which means no mixing of households, which makes us scratch our head about whether we were due to meet my mother on Sunday. Is that okay? Is she a bubble? Is she not a bubble? We don't know. Here's a, for instance, just one. Manchester is meant to join Liverpool in the highest level. That means, therefore, no mixing of households, but also pubs, restaurants, gyms and other businesses having to close again, semi-lockdown, essentially. But the mayor of Manchester, and indeed the council leaders of a number of towns within Greater Manchester, have said they're not going to take it. They say the government measures are flawed and unfair, that they are picking on one of the poorest parts of the country, And they say that essentially they're being used as canaries in the coal mine, a test and see kind of program. So I don't have any idea.